This segment contains language which could offend some listeners.
Okay, so who's a climate scientist?
I'm not a climate scientist.
I'm not a climate scientist.
I'm not a climate scientist either.
Yo! We're climate scientists, and there's no denying this! Climate change is real! Who's a climate scientist? I'm a climate scientist. Not a Clio finalist, no, a climate scientist. Dropping facts all over this
glass.
While bitches be crying about a carbon
tax.
Climate change is caused by
people.
Earth on like alien has no
sequel.
We gotta move fast or we'll be forsaken.
Cause we were too busy sucking dick in Copenhagen.
The gang from Hungry Beast on Wednesday. And the rap song did actually feature a bunch of real climate scientists. And we shall feature some of those arguments and the nature of climate denial, as it's called, in a minute. This is The Science Show on ABC Radio National. I'm Robin Williams. And we shall also feature two people who were honoured at the Academy of Science in Canberra last week. The first being Thomas Maschmeyer, Head of Chemistry at the University of Sydney. He was elected a fellow and told the Academy of an exciting new way of producing biofuel that could even supply the aviation industry. And so, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a great honour to have been elected and to have been here at these three fantastic days at the Shine Dome in Canberra.
Well, of course, you're recognised for being an expert on catalysts, and the centre at the University of Sydney has been going strong for some time. And you're applying it to biofuels. How?
That's correct. We are making bio-crude oil out of lignocellulosic feedstock. That is feedstock that does not compete with food. And we're using a high-temperature, high-pressure process that is aided by catalysts to remove the oxygen in the biomass feedstock.
Now, you said this feedstock, this cellulosic, can be almost anything. It can be any plant, any leftovers, even bits of old wood.
That's correct, but it has to be reasonably well-defined feedstock. We can't, in one production run, change the composition of that feedstock very dramatically. As long as we know the composition of the feedstock, we can cope with that. That is one way in which the previous attempts of this technology failed. They were trying to use green waste, which was, by definition, varying very substantially in any one batch.
And the poor old catalysts get confused, don't they?
That's exactly right. They get confused and they make things which start to polymerize and gum up the oil and gum up the process.
And what you want is something that's rather more predictable in terms of its, not necessarily purity, but consistency. How much more productive, efficient is your system?
Well, compared to ethanol, bioethanol, I need about 80% of my chemical energy in the starch to in fact make my bioethanol. So I only have a net energy benefit of something like 20%. In our case, going from the biomass to the bio-crude oil, we have only a use of about 20% of the chemical energy in our feedstock, and therefore we have an energy benefit of 80%. So it's about four times better.
Four times better, that's really extraordinary. And can you, it's a question that always comes up with this sort of thing, can you scale up? In other words, the more stuff you've got and the bigger your vat, you can simply go on indefinitely getting bigger and bigger.
Well, currently we have a pilot plant that runs about 100 kilos an hour, and we are just starting to construct commercial sized demonstration units of 20,000 to 40,000 tons a year to show the upscalability of our process. Our process is inherently modular, so we do not need, for the full 200,000, 500,000-ton process, we don't need vast amounts of investment, so we can upscale reasonably easily.
And what about the source of the material? Surely, if you have to be consistent in your stock, you can't really guarantee an unlimited large supply, can you?
Well, initially, our business model is to interact with existing waste streams. So we're going into the forestry industry for forestry waste, maybe some energy cropping of grasses and other agricultural waste streams. And that is already quite a large supply.
Yeah, there's no shortage of that stuff. It keeps coming.
Absolutely. And we hope to be able to announce in a few weeks that we've just signed a major agreement with a pulp and paper company and retrofitting one of their paper mills.
So really, Thomas, have you had a look at some of the figures of this, what you could actually provide for a nation like Australia, for a city like Sydney, if you were to scale up what you're doing to a level that really is something that might be working in 2020, 2030?
Biomass is, of course, a reasonably scarce resource. And when people go around spruiking that we can replace all of the fossil oil with bio-crude oil or biomass, that just doesn't work. In terms of where do biofuels probably sit best, I think it's in the aviation industry. If we were to change all of the aviation fuel into renewable fuels based on our process, based on lignocellulosics, we would need about 10% of the world's current agricultural production. Now, that's a large number, but I can imagine that to be a possible addition via maybe macroalgae going offshore into salt water, not competing with current land use, not competing with fresh water, and also by bundling all my current waste streams.
Could you run Qantas on your scheme?
Absolutely. And we are in contact with a range of airlines and aircraft manufacturers about our work.
Is Alan Joyce keen?
I've forgotten.
You have to be more discreet, do you? I see. But what you're talking about is that you can provide something for a major industry, because the cost of conventional oil, aircraft fuel, is almost crippling the aviation industry at the moment.
Absolutely. If we really get the predicted, and it's predicted by the International Energy Agency, that big crunch in 2013-2014 in terms of world oil supply, the oil price will go up very dramatically and it will impact airlines in an extremely negative way. And so really it is trying to help them to maintain their industry that biofuels could play a major part in.
I suppose you know about the fact that biofuels have been used in certain aircraft. I think Richard Branson has looked at one scheme and it's been tried in a couple of other aircraft as well. Have you been involved in that at all?
No, we haven't been involved in that, because that's really what I will call still first generation biofuels, because they are based on vegetable oils. And vegetable oils, by definition, can be made available as feed for animals or food for humans. So what we are doing is we're starting with the rest of the plant, not the seed, but the lignocellulosic, the fibrous part, and we convert that into bio-crude oil, which then is made into jet fuel that's indistinguishable from current jet fuel and therefore doesn't need to go through very demanding additional certification processes either.
So the waste from your garden and the local park could help you fly away on your next trip one day. Professor Thomas Mashmire runs chemistry at the University of Sydney and is a brand new fellow of the Australian Academy of Science.